Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening, everybody. So this evening, I wanted to start at least by talking about the posture. I do keep coming back to it because, for me at least, I find that it's a bottomless reserve of learning when studying Zen and studying the practice. And it's something that, it's the first thing that we all get shown when we come to Canando, or we go to a Zen center, and we're curious about Zen, and we're curious how to practice. The first thing that we're shown is just how to sit on a cushion, and we're not really told much beyond that in those first steps. We say that it takes 5 minutes to show somebody the posture, and then a lifetime to deepen it. And it's not easy. The posture's not easy for everybody. And I could go as far as to say that it's probably not easy for anybody. It's something that we work with every time we sit, every time we sit for Zazen. And there's no such thing as perfecting it either. It's constantly a work in progress. It's constantly something that we engage with and that we become increasingly intimate with. For some people, the Zazen posture is painful physically, and for some people it's very difficult emotionally or psychically, because everybody's body is different. Not everybody can sit in the same way. Some people have problems with their legs or with their backs. But the more we practice, the more we feel that our body can also change. And if we study the posture of Zazen, the posture that we're taught, we can slowly move towards it, move deeper into it. If we take care to remember and focus on the points of the posture. So the key points of the posture that are always worth coming back to every time we sit. The very basic thing we have is the cushion, the zafu and the zafutan, which cushions our knees. And one thing I would always advise with the cushion is to play with the height. It's one thing that's not necessarily always obvious at first, but with time the zafus can get lower and lower the more we sit on them. And we have this pile of these little square cushions in the corners here, which you can use, you can experiment with to lift yourself sometimes and to see how that feels. Because ideally, when we sit down, we sit cross-legged, but we don't sit in that normal cross-legged way where your ankles are on the floor and your knees are up. We invert it so that the knees are pressing down into the floor and they form a kind of a tripod base with your bottom that's on the zafu, and it gives you a lot of stability for setting up the posture. So if your zafu is a good height, when you're sitting like this, you're kind of falling into your knees, and your pelvis will tilt forward a little bit. And the effect of that tilting forward is that the rest of your spine very naturally just goes up without you needing to use your back muscles to pull them up. So any other way, if you're sitting further back on your zafu or if you're sort of curving your back, it can become very painful after a few minutes, let alone for 40 minutes, to sit like that. So with the pelvis tilting forward, the spine can very naturally align, and we continue that straightness through the back of the neck, pushing up, gently pushing up towards the ceiling, not creating tensions like in your neck and chest by trying to do it, but straightening the back of the neck and pulling the chin inwards to balance on the top of the neck. So your head is heavy. Your head weighs like a bowling ball, they say, which is pretty heavy. That's a lot of weight to have on this little neck here. So often, like in our work lives, you know, when we're sort of sitting forward, our heads are falling forward into screens and computers. This is a chance to bring your head back and to feel that kind of effortless balance on top of your neck. In Zazen meditation, we don't close our eyes. We keep them open, sort of half open, in a relaxed gaze down towards the floor. And sometimes when people are doing this for the first time, they find it a little strange or off-putting, especially if you've practiced another meditation before where you've kept your eyes closed. And people ask, oh, can I just close my eyes? Can we not keep them open? But it is an integral part of the posture to keep the eyes open, not only because closing them puts you at a much greater risk of falling asleep, but also because it helps to ground us in our surroundings. When we're sitting Zazen, we're here, we're in the moment, we're in this room, we're in this place at this time, and allowing the light to come in and having a feel for being in that place is very helpful. Your mouth is closed, your tongue is sort of pointed behind your top teeth, and this is helpful for not producing too much saliva while you're sitting, so therefore you don't have to swallow too much and make lots of noise and distract the people sitting next to you. The hands, during Zazen, we put in this position called the Cosmic Mudra, and it's one of a whole series of old Indian mudras, positions of the hands that have various significance and engage in certain energies, I suppose. So this is when you see images of Buddha sitting and meditating. He's usually holding this position with his hands. And it's symbolic of a wholeness, of a oneness. And it also supposedly aids concentration. And I think you can often feel it, or you can experiment with it when you are sitting, that it's kind of a circuit. So that connection between the thumbs, there's an energy there. And when you're sitting, you can position your hands as such that there's a very light pressure pushing the top of the thumbs against each other. And when you break that circuit, you feel it. And there's really something there, or there's something missing. And the thumbs are very indicative of the state of mind during Zazen. So often when we're sleepy, the thumbs tend to just drop down. Or if we're getting very excited and thinking lots of thoughts, the thumbs go up. So if you sometimes feel your thumbs be corrected by somebody who's walking around during Zazen, correcting postures, it's more of just a helpful way of bringing you back to your concentration. So when the structure of the posture is such that we really want to maximize the ease of breathing during Zazen, so we don't want our breathing to be strained, we want to be able to open the chest to the extent that breath can flow freely in and out, and often our shoulders fall forward, which is one way that constricts the breath, and sometimes our shoulders fall forward because our hands can be too low when we're sitting. Like if we have our hands down here, they can bring your shoulders forward. So I often suggest maybe putting like a cushion or a sweater or something like underneath your hands to bring them up a bit and to rest them so you don't build tension in your shoulders. And when you pull your shoulders back, you can experiment with using the muscles that join your shoulders at the back, the rhomboid muscles, that it's rather than pushing your shoulders back like this, which could create more tension. There's just this little set of muscles between your shoulder blades that you can squeeze that kind of brings them back. And that's a nice way of opening them without putting pressure on your chest and allowing your rib cage to be able to open and contract. So there are, for people who have difficulty sitting like this, cross-legged, obviously you can sit full lotus if you're amazing, or you can sit half lotus, just bringing one foot up onto your other thigh, or you can have your front leg kind of resting on the floor rather in the Burmese position. And if sitting cross-legged altogether is just not an option, you can be kneeling with the zafu in between your legs and sitting up that way. Or if sitting on the floor is not an option at all, then we have the chairs too. But what's important is if we are in the kneeling or sitting on the chair positions, that we try and keep the key components of the posture, the other key components, in place. So the position of the hands, the straight back, the stretched neck. And especially if we're sitting on chairs, both feet can be flat on the ground, parallel to each other. You can put a cushion underneath if that helps, if your feet get cold. And trying not to lean against the back of the chair, but to sit up straight, to keep that straightness in your back. Because it's an optimum way of keeping alert while staying relaxed at the same time. And it might not seem like that when you first start practicing, but the more that you can practice the posture, the more comfortable it becomes. And it's not easy. It's not easy to sit in any single position for 40 minutes at a stretch. When I was a student, I used to work as, well, my job as a student was I was a life model for a fashion school. So I used to sit and all these fashion students would draw me. And these sessions would last for like an hour or 2 hours. And they would always sort of try and put me in position in a very kind way that would, you know, cause me the least amount of discomfort for that amount of time. And sometimes there were things that I, like positions that I thought would be very, very comfortable, like reclining, you know, with lots of cushions or, you know, sitting in particular ways. But everything after about 20 minutes became absolutely unbearable and I had to stop. And at that time, I'd already started practicing Zazen. And it occurred to me that, you know, basically the Zazen position was the one that I could probably hold the longest with the most amount of comfort. So there's one more thing that I wanted to mention about the posture, about when we're just about to go into the posture, is something that in Japanese is called Sayu Yoshin. It's something that we've not talked about here at Kanendo for a while, but if you were to maybe be taught meditation in Japan or maybe some other Zen centers around the place, there's a little thing that they do before they start to sit, and that's to do this sort of swaying balancing from side to side. So the moment to do this is once you've sat down on your cushion and you found your posture, you can put your thumbs inside your palms like this and place the backs of your hands on your knees. And then finding your straightness, you would literally just sway from one side to the other. And then when you go back again, you would do a smaller motion in that direction and a smaller motion in that direction. And keep going in smaller and smaller movements from side to side until you find the center. And when you find the center, you stop. And you would then gassho and start your meditation. So I think that this balancing motion, I would encourage you to try it and to practice it, because, I mean, for a number of reasons. Practically, it's great for stretching your hips before you start to meditate if you really push it from side to side. But obviously there's the symbolic image in it too, this kind of centering. So often we come to the Zendo after a busy day of rushing around, lots of movement, lots of motion, and then we come here and we just stop. And that's kind of how I feel this feels. It's extreme movement that gets smaller and smaller as you come into your center and you come into stillness. So in Zen and in Buddhist teaching, we hear a lot about centeredness in general and where we're taught to follow the middle way, that when we're sitting in zazen, we're sitting in the middle of myriad forms. We're sitting in the middle of everything that's happening, and we sit. And when we come down to sit on our cushions, we're committing ourselves to a sort of an unflinching experience of everything that's happening within ourselves, outside of ourselves. And the idea is that we let it happen and we place ourselves in the center of it. Recently I was looking through the book Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, which probably many of you have read or might have at home. And there's a, if you don't know it, it's a book of short Zen stories and koans from Chinese, I think, and Japanese traditions. And then right at the back of the book, there's this little section that's about 6 pages long, and it's called The Centering. And it's an old Indian text that I think predates Buddha, even. I think it goes back a really, really long way. And in India, it's called the Vijnana Bhairava Tantra, which supposedly can also be translated as the terror and joy of realizing oneness with the soul. So this little text is it's an exchange between Shiva and Devi, who are partners, lovers, consorts. And one day Devi asks Shiva some questions. And she says to him, "What's your reality, Shiva? What is this wonder-filled universe? What constitutes seed? And who centers the universal wheel?" And then Shiva goes on to respond with 112 little recommendations for meditation, for various things that a person could do to realize themselves. And the one that I kind of stuck on when I was reading through them was number 26, when he simply, very simply says, unminding mind, keep in the middle until. Unminding mind, keep in the middle until. And I think that, to me anyway, there's something in this phrase that's in the essence of our zazen, and of the zazen mind and attitude that forms the base of our practice. What the until bit at the end is referring to is quite mysterious. I read some commentaries where people suggested that it might be like until you explode, or until you lose your mind, or until your mind disappears altogether. But I think that's something to reflect on. So what does it mean practically, at least, to stay in the middle? When we sit zazen, we quite literally stop. And when we stop, we have much more of a sense of what movement actually is. It's a bit like coming off one of those like moving walkways at an airport when you've been on it for a few minutes and you suddenly stop and you get a bit disconcerted. You feel like the movement should still be occurring and it doesn't. And I think the more we try and understand what this movement is, the more we realize it's in our nature to always be moving forward with our minds, to be planning, to be anticipating the next step. Sometimes to the point where zazen can just be the facilitation of one long to-do list. Like, what am I going to have for dinner? I have to SMS my mom. I've got to get gas for the car to go to the ATM. It just keeps going and going and going. And it's ticking. It's always pushing forward. It's always making you wonder about what the next step is going to be. And this can settle. You know, when we're sitting, these thoughts can settle. But even if you're having a break from the literal thoughts, sometimes you can feel it on a more subtle level. So you may feel concentrated in zazen and very calm and peaceful, but somewhere there's like a tiny little part of you that's waiting for the bell to ring or that's wondering what kind of cookies we're going to get with tea afterwards, even if it's happening subconsciously. And that tiny little sense of anticipation is like a tension. It's a tension that can manifest physically in our bodies. It's like something that's straining at the leash that prevents us from being able to fully participate wholly in the present moment. So when we come to the Zendo, we come to willingly stop. We willingly stop and we shine the light within ourselves. But I think there's lots of opportunities during the day, there's lots of moments during the day that we can use and turn around to do the same thing that could be helpful. And one thing that always occurs to me are these kind of moments when we are, in spite of ourselves, stopped during the day, like when you hit a bottleneck in your day. So it's like you're waiting in line, like you're stuck in traffic, you're on hold on a telephone call listening to music. And if in that moment you can re-engage with your Zazen mind, with your breath, you realize how much you are willing this to move forward. You're pushing, like you want the light to turn green, you want the line to move forward, you want somebody to pick up the phone and talk to you. You want to be heard, you want to be understood. Even when you're sitting Zazen, you want the pain in your knees to stop, you want the bell to go. You want to be enlightened, you're willing it all the time. There's just this constant push forward. And it's being able to center ourselves in the midst of that we can get a better sense of what it means to stop, of what it means to be still as opposed to constantly pushing forward. And that can be a relief. That can really be a relief. Dogen said, the ungraspable, ephemeral nature of the body is used as a pointer for the practice of the way. And this can mean when we sit in Zazen, we use our bodies, we learn from our bodies. We can observe these kinds of anticipations, how they manifest physically as tensions. We can observe how contraction and relaxation occur together as a phenomenon when we're sitting just from our breathing. The way your rib cage expands and contracts, you breathe. That's just, it's a pattern, it's a rhythm, your heart beats. You can watch this during Zazen. You can watch how expansion and contraction just work off the back of each other. And in doing this, it might help to consider some of the larger contractions in our lives, in our bodies, and more generally in our lives, if we're contracting too much and we're not expanding enough. When we're sitting, we create all sorts of tensions, and you can really feel this when you keep coming back to your posture in Zazen. You know, you might be screwing up your forehead or straining your eyes or holding your shoulders tense, holding the muscles in your abdomen, trying to control your breathing, maybe tensing up your legs, because sometimes we're leaning 1 centimeter this way, or you know, slightly backwards or forwards to the side, and your body's overcorrecting itself. So we can keep going back to that. We can become more attuned to it. You notice the patterns that your body falls into, and using your attention, you can begin to become intimate. So like I said at the beginning, Zazen is not easy for everybody, and I think everybody at some point and I'm talking mostly just about the physical posture right now, you know, finds discomforts and finds all sorts of pains that occur. These are things that can that we can really work with. These are things that can really help us. This is something that Suzuki would sometimes refer to as weeds. And he would talk about how weeds can be a positive thing that eventually nourish and enrich our practice. And I think this is a great approach, like when facing difficulty in Zazen. And how do we do this? You know, what's the best way to do this? We say that when we're sitting in Zazen, we're shining the light of attention inside ourselves. And when we see our imperfections or our difficulties, we have to approach them very carefully, with patience and with gentleness, with compassion. And this is warming, this is an expansion, this is love. This is the attitude we should have. It's like when the sun comes out and all the flowers open. It's the same kind of opening that can happen when, if we shine love on ourselves, that contractions can turn to expansion. And it can be a very beautiful thing. So Suzuki, he also talked about difficulties as thinking about horses, the good horses and bad horses. And sometimes, you know, if Zazen's easy for somebody, the physical posture is easy for somebody, say, oh, you've got a good horse, that's great, lucky you. And if it's bad, it's, oh, you've got a bad horse, that sucks. But the thing that he said, word for word, was those who find great difficulties in practicing Zen will find more meaning in it. Sometimes the best horse may be the worst horse. Does anyone have any questions?
I have been practicing for 3 months, and my eyes keep closing, and I open them, and then the next time I realize it, they're closed again. Any advice?
Keep opening them. Yeah, sometimes we need to do it again and again and again and again, but it happens eventually.
Thank you for the very interesting talk, Vanessa. It was very informative. Could you tell us where you started your practice? I guess it was in the UK?
Yes, it was in the UK. With the Zen group in the UK, which is part of Taizen Deshimaru's lineage. So they're based, the organization's based in France, and then they have centers all over Europe. So I was originally introduced through a French teacher who came to the UK and practicing in the London Zendo. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Vanessa. Question, you talk a lot about Zazen. Thank you very much. What could you say about posture in bowling?
In bowling? Mm-hmm. Did that come up because of the head being the same weight as a bowling ball?
No.
Bowing.
My Chilean accent.
Bowling, I couldn't really talk about so <I'm laughs> bowing. In bowing, from what I understood, what I was taught, when we bow, ideally, in Gassho, our hands would come up to the level of our face, and the forearms are parallel with the floor, and then you would bend at the waist, forward, with a straight back, come back up again. I don't know if I'm missing something, but that's pretty much it.
Thank you for the talk. So I find often outside of Zazen. When I'm at mental attention, I'm at physical attention, which can be really tense. I catch myself doing that a lot. So I was wondering if you had advice about that outside of Zazen.
Mm-hmm. So you find that when you have mental tension or attention?
When I'm mentally at attention.
At attention.
I find myself physically at attention, which can be tense and isn't helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that it's a habit.
Mm. Right. I mean, today I mostly just talked about the physical aspect of Zazen. The reason I say that it's something we can really learn from is because we can learn about the relationship between what happens with our body and what happens with our mind. And we can see it very clearly when we're sitting. When we talk about dropping the body and mind, it sort of tends to happen simultaneously. And so likewise, when mind gets tense, body gets tense, and vice versa. I think, you know, outside of Zazen would be pretty much the same as inside in some ways. I mean, in terms of how you hold yourself, if you feel yourself suddenly, you know, tense, holding your breath, in that moment, you exhale, you feel your breath, you find yourself, you just take a moment to hear, see, feel everything that's around you in the same way that you would, I suppose, when you're in the Zendo. And I think, you know, invariably one thing will lead the other.
Thank you for the talk before you get out of town. Similar to the last idea that was just talked about, it seems like sitting in general for me is a kind of a surrender to what wants to come up spontaneously by itself. So it seems like it's a way of being patient or kind of sitting with resolve to allow what wants to be there by itself. Original nature, maybe, is another way of saying that. And body language in all the facets of life and how you feel and your body changes when you come into contact with other people, that sometimes people make you nervous, sometimes people make you comfortable. So I'm wondering if the posture has a way of integrating with that idea of, is it noticing what your body's telling you? Is it allowing yourself to be in sync with what your surroundings want to tell you? So inside of Zazen, outside of Zazen, body language, posture.
I mean, obviously we build up an intimacy with our bodies. The more we sit, the more we practice. Like you really sort of start to get into the nooks and crannies and become aware of things that you weren't necessarily aware of before. And I think through practicing uprightness and through practicing consciousness of how your body is, how your breath is, in Zazen, you know, I think you carry that out of the Zendo. I think it's quite natural to just become increasingly aware of your body language and how you appear, you know, how you project, you know, what the difference is between various ways that you could stand or face another person, what you're projecting. I think all of these things, I think from the minute we step into the Zendo, we're very conscious, you know, we're taught to be very conscious about how we stand, how we walk, what we do with our hands, And in every action that we perform in the Zendo, we know exactly what hands and feet should be doing. And if we don't, you feel very strange. Like, if there's one moment where you're like, I don't know where the hands should be right now, maybe here or here, or, you know, it feels like, so you're, you constantly have that awareness with you. And I think it's inevitable that expands and that you take it out with you.
Your some of your suggestions on posture make me think about various points of balance within side to side and back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and being in the middle, even with the thumbs. I think there's also, understanding your background and coming to Zen. I don't think you ever saw it as a form of harsh discipline, the posture. But for me, it's been a struggle, very hard struggle to not see it as that, since this posture was introduced to me as a stress position that I had to hold for a year, for probably about 90 minutes a day, until I was covered in sweat. And it's like somebody who loses moderation, or they push themselves past a point where they know where the balance point is. And I think the word that I heard was, intimacy with your own body, and knowing what's good enough. And I was just hoping that you could, say a little bit more about that. Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me that it was absolutely horrible when I first started sitting. you forget that. It's like childbirth. I remember really, really struggling with the posture when I first started sitting. And the first time I ever sat was actually a sesshin. So I had 3 days of it, like, just constantly. And, I remember just, like, counting in my head, thinking that I could count, like, how many minutes were left until the bell would go. And it was excruciating. And then I remember telling the teacher, complaining to the teacher about this, who was leading the sesshin, and he said when he first started sitting, that he'd had to, that his first sesshin, he'd had to, like, sit in a hot bath for, like, 3 days afterwards because it was so painful for him. And I thought, why on earth are any of us doing this? It's just ridiculous. But everybody else seemed to be very comfortable, so it kind of gave me hope that, somewhere along the line it would be better. But so your questions about how far should you push yourself within the difficulty?
Where's the balance? When is it enough?
Mm-hmm. I think it's really good practice to, I mean, I think only you can answer that question for yourself, I think that's something that we can all get really busy with when we start practicing, because that's when you really start taking care of yourself. And that's exactly one of the skills that we're developing in developing a practice, is exactly that. When do you push, and when do you be kind to yourself? And I think, often maybe it can feel, especially if you're coming here for the first time, if everybody's sitting like this, and you feel, oh God, you want to move, or you want to sit in a different way. I mean, we absolutely shouldn't feel that this is some kind of harsh discipline. It's a posture that we can all work towards, but it's not something that we should have to endure. So. And it's something that, we can talk about too. I invite people to come and talk about the posture, any difficulties they're having with the posture, to try and find solutions. There's lots of different things you can do. But yeah, I think it's a skill, finding that moment, that balance, that moment when you need to stop.
So one of the things that I have come to realize after sitting for so long that it's not to have any kind of expectations from your zazen, not to have any kind of expectation from life either. You know, whatever comes is going to show up, and sometimes it comes and hits you in the face. And when it hits you in the face, you have to sit there and say, okay. And when it goes easy, you say, okay. It's not something that can be anticipated or can be quantified or qualified. It is what it is. And this is how life is. And sometimes life pushes you down and you have to get up and deal with it. And it's about courage. It's about confidence. This is what our posture is. And it's taking that confidence and taking that, you know, upright position without having an arrogant attitude. To me, that's what comes up now when I sit. Every day, it's like taking that in and saying, no, whatever's coming my way, I'm going to deal with it. And just dealing with it the best way that I can without... One of the things that has recently happened is that I've been able to start... I have started to see my emotions after like 10 years of sitting, finally, and started to understand things will rise up and then they'll go away. And I have to wait for them to go away till I respond to something, not react to something. It takes time to understand human beings, all of us, each and every one of us, no matter how much we say we're very similar to each other, we're not. We all have our families, and we all have our things that we bring to the Sangha, to every situation, and we deal with things. But one of the things that Zazen does, that it's like a broom that we use, and it cleans out everything else and leaves you there and saying, okay, now you're standing here, you're taking this posture, you're taking it with confidence, you're the person who's responsible, and you have to handle it. And I think that is one of the best things that I've learned from this practice, is to have that kind of attitude that, yes, you know, in life you know, we run after buses or we try to get on to public transit and you can fall down. In Zazen, your thought takes you away. And some other emotion comes and pulls you aside. The pain comes up. You say, okay. And now you readjust and you stand up again and you deal with it. And for me, that has been the greatest thing. And thank you for this talk today, because this was what it was, a reminder to me all about. Your entire talk was about taking this confident pose and saying, okay, whatever comes up, we're going to deal with it, no matter what.
Thank you, Vanessa. I wanted to ask you about the breathing. You know, I was reading a book by Thich Nhat Hanh, and he was talking about the crucial importance of that breathing has in our practice is the anchor. And he insisted, you know, on the breathing part, saying that this is knowledge that has been brought to us over 2,000 years, the importance of breathing. And You know, many times I find myself forgetting about breathing or wanting to ask a teacher, how do you breathe? Which is kind of a funny question. So I wonder, you know, how is this part for you, the part about breathing?
It'd definitely be good to ask a teacher, for sure. For me, it's... the way that I was taught, personally, like I was never taught to pay particular attention to the breathing over any other bodily occurrence. So the breathing occurs, and it's probably the biggest. It's the movement that's happening while you're in zazen. So as such, it will take up some portion of your attention. But I personally have never engaged in meditation that solely focuses on breathing. Although I understand that it's a very useful tool, especially when you're first starting out and your beginning is to just be with the breath, or to count breaths, or, you know, to work with the breath in some way. I've also come across some advice about breathing, which I've used and found quite helpful. And in as much as we let the breath come and go by itself in zazen, there's a certain energy that can be applied to the exhalation, to sort of just like a deepening of the exhalation that can happen, that can sort of just bring more energy to the posture generally. And that's not to say that you're sort of, you know, heaving your breath out and turning yourself blue, you know, trying to exhale all the air from your lungs, but it's more subtle than that. But I think playing almost with your breath. Like, you know, your breath is one of your only bodily functions that will happen in and of itself, but you can intervene and control it and do different things with it, and that's interesting. I think after a certain point, you know, to concentrate solely on the breath is not something that I'm familiar with. I'm not familiar with what Thich Nhat Hanh's said about the breath. But that's been my experience.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.